Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Alfredo Ortiz joins our program to talk about small business and the coalition that we need to build to crush the Chamber of Commerce. Also, you can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have Joe Concha, who writes the book, Come On, Man, criticizing the Biden regime in a hilarious, honest way. Get involved with Turning Point USA Today, which is strictly educational, at tpusa.com to help us make sure that your grandkids will love America and share American values. That is tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get engaged and get involved by opening up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. I have a lot of questions about Joe Biden and his presidency, truly. And one of my favorite people on television, he's always witty and knows what he's talking about and entertaining. He has a terrific new book out called Come On, Man! The Truth About Joe Biden's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Presidency by Joe Concha. You guys should buy it out. Buy the book now. Come On, Man. And Joe joins us now. Joe, welcome to the program.
Charlie, you got my Venmo. I said, give me a good intro and 100 pesos are yours. So thank you for that, my friend. I appreciate the kind words.
You got it. So tell us about your book. Has Joe Biden done anything right?
Well, let's look at it objectively, right? Let's take conservative, liberal out of it and just let's do a good old fashioned report card. I got two kids in first and third grade. They'll be getting their first report cards for the first month coming soon. So let's go through each major issue, right, Charlie? So we got inflation. How do you think the president's doing there? Do you give him an F or an F minus? I'll be kind and go F. Okay. So that's not going well. Economy in general. Is this president spending trillions of dollars during a recession and then having the audacity to call it Inflation Reduction Act? Any kid with a lemonade stand knows that you don't spend money and then expect the dollar to actually not decrease in value. So, okay, so far, inflation economy, which is easily the number one issue in the country right now, Charlie, he's at a solid F. Then let's go with the U.S. southern border, where he was smart enough to put Kamala Harris in charge. Kamala Harris, as a senator, said that ICE agents should be compared to the KKK and argued illegal crossings across the border should be made legal. And that's the person that's now in charge of fixing the southern border, which, of course, he's doing nothing. So between that, between the fact that we will have nearly 5 million people entering this country in this president's first 2 years, when you talk about those people that have been encountered, more than 4 million, and all the gotaways that we're not even talking about, we are now close to the equivalent of the population of friggin' Ireland, all right? And I'm half Irish, and that's the amount of people that will come across this country in just 2 years alone, and all the fentanyl coming along with it as well, where 300 people are dying each day on average from opioid overdoses driven by fentanyl. So in terms of the border, we're back at that letter again, and it's F, as in we are effed. Then you look at crime, and you see major city after major city, Charlie, you talk about it on the show a lot, and these amazing spikes. And most of these criminals are ones that have already been arrested and they're put back out onto the street because of these DAs that the president never speaks up about, cashless bail, these ridiculous laws. So American cities are profoundly unsafe. They're more expensive to live in and our border is wide open. So on three very major issues, this president is failing to the point where he may not even run again in 2024. That's how bad it looks for him.
So the book is called Come On, Man. I have a couple questions for you, Joe, because you've thought deeply about this and you put it together. So one of the questions I've had throughout the entire presidency, and I think I figured it out, but I want your theory, is why the lack of adjustment? Why is it that it seems as if they're accelerating what you deem as an F. I totally agree. Why is it that most presidents or most presidencies would say, well, that's unpopular, people don't like that, and at least would do a little bit? It seems as if there's something that is deeply wrong and unpopular, and instead of pivoting, they just drive it right off the cliff. Why is this administration, this person, been so, you know, this Joe Biden, been so unwilling to adjust?
Charlie, I think because they're cowards. I think in the end, they are so petrified of the left wing of the party. They're petrified of hosts on MSNBC and some on CNN that if they remotely pivot to the center. Remember, when CNN announced that we're going to start going more towards the center, we're going to start doing more journalism and less opinion. And then the liberals flip, like, how could you do this? You're going to be the next Fox News. It's like, well, I mean, where are you getting this from? I mean, the middle isn't the right. But I think in the end, with this president, as far as not pivoting, and I'm an old man compared to you. You're still a young guy. You have your metabolism and all those fun things you have when you're your age. Me, not so much. But I was in college in the 90s, right? And that's when I first started kind of paying attention to politics. And I remember Bill Clinton, he takes this shellacking in the first midterms, loses 54 seats, right? And what could he do? He could either continue to go to the left where he started his presidency or say, ah, crap, I really got to start working with this new House Speaker, this guy named Newt Gingrich, and pass some things that people want. So amazingly, a Democratic president, yes, this was within our lifetimes, a Democratic president passed welfare reform. Bill Clinton declared that the era of big government is over. Try picturing Joe Biden saying something like that, and then pass this thing called, it's amazing how logical it is, a balanced budget amendment, which basically says you don't spend what you're not taking into the government. And they actually achieved it. We actually had a surplus in this country, which is just remarkable. So Clinton in 96, after doing this, runs for re-election, and he wins quite easily over Bob Dole. And the same thing you could be said about other presidents who were smart enough to just say, if I want to survive, I'm therefore going to go to the center. But I think, Charlie, it goes back to the fact that this president knows he's a one-term president, that he's not running again, that he doesn't want to be president when he's 85, 86 years old, which he could be if he were to actually run and win in a second term. We would have mid-80s Biden, which compared to late 70s Biden would be even more horrifying. So I think he just wants to get these big spending issues, these big spending projects done, and he's gotten some done already. He wants to change our energy independence to more of a green agenda. That's why he's canceling all these oil leases, Keystone XL pipeline, and having us depend on Venezuela for oil. I think he's transformed enough where he'll be convinced, like, okay, you did your job, you beat Trump, now you can step aside, so he doesn't care what the consequences are. Is that a decent theory?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on. And, you know, in all of your reporting, and you look at this very carefully, what evidence do you have to show outside of what we might already be able to ascertain that he's going to be a one-term president? Has he said something like that? He's angling towards it. What do you have to support that? I happen to agree, but what is your best evidence to support that?
I don't think many accidents happen in politics, even with Joe Biden, who's a gaffe machine. But when you go on 60 Minutes, right? And it's going to be as big an audience as you're going to speak to in an interview. And you say that it remains to be seen if I'm going to run for president again or not. You leave that door open when you're asked that question, instead of right before a midterm, by the way. You don't definitively say, of course, I'm running for president again. I got a lot of work that I want to get done. And I didn't come here just to serve 4 years. Oh, no. When you say that it remains to be seen if I'm running, that's a very good indicator that he is not running. And then he looks at polls, I'm sure, and his handlers like Ron Klain look at polls, or even, Charlie, a majority of Democrats do not want him to seek a second act. And an overwhelming number of Americans don't want him to as well. And then I look at his work schedule. Look at it on Tuesday, September 27th. He has one event at 1:45 in the afternoon. It's a 15-minute speech on prescription drugs, and that's it. Nothing in the morning, nothing after. He goes away every weekend, starting on Thursday nights. This is not somebody who is showing me the work ethic that he wants to work here for another 6 years.
Yeah, it's just so sad. Our country has so much potential. And, you know, they always attack Donald Trump for golfing and stuff and all this. The guy worked nonstop. You can say whatever you want about Trump. He was a machine. He was a machine with, you know, his productivity, with his phone calls, with his negotiations. And Joe Biden is not that. Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone, just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. Joe, I think an important way to look at Joe Biden is he's constantly thinking about how historians will view him and that he's being pushed by his handlers to be even more ideological and more radical than even he's comfortable with, because I don't think he's totally there. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just don't think he's obviously there and making the decisions cognitively that would be, you know, be expected of a president. But my question, Joe, is how much of these decisions is being done not to try to drive success, but instead to try to drive the country into the ground? Because you give him an F across the board that feels like a campaign of destruction.
In a midterm year, no less, right? And that's the confusing thing about this. I mean, when we talk about are some of the things that they're, are they doing, is it intentional, Charlie? And I just look at the border and it's hard not to come to any conclusion that opening it the way they have and people just walking right in like they're going to 7-Eleven, and these numbers that we talked about, I mean, 2 million in the last year just documented, the ones that we've encountered alone. How could that not be intentional? How do you stop construction of a border wall that was working or remain in Mexico policy unless it is intentional that you want all these folks to come in? And then you see a Gavin Newsom in California completely embracing this by saying he's going to give free health care to illegal immigrants, which is remarkable when you consider all the homelessness in his state and you have veterans on food stamps, where we're treating people that aren't legally in this country better than we are those who are legally. And then you say, okay, well, it can't be about letting illegals vote because we would never allow that, right? Well, in my book, I'm actually looking at it right on page 5, right in the beginning. I say non-citizens will never be allowed to vote, you say? It's already happening in places like New York City, where they passed a law in 2021 allowing 800,000 non-citizens to vote in local elections, all right? And then there's 15 cities and towns across the U.S. that's now allowing this as well, and the number just keeps growing and growing. So is it intentional? Is this like a big picture, long-term plan to keep Democrats in power in places where they already have a stronghold and now they could completely solidify it by passing these laws allowing illegal immigrants to vote and to have driver's licenses and so on? It's a reasonable question to ask. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it just seems as if it's a complete and total campaign of deliberate destruction to bring that country in that direction. And so, you know, you're writing the book, Come On Man, on Joe Biden. How do you see this ending? Do you think Hunter's going to get indicted? Do you think he's going to resign peacefully into the distance? How does the Joe Biden story end, Joe?
It ends after the 2022 midterms, when the GOP takes back the House, and then hearings start to be launched almost immediately into Hunter Biden, into that laptop, into influence peddling in places like China and Ukraine, which at last check are in the news a lot these days. And Ukraine's getting a lot of our money these days, and Russia as well. And then we start to explore who is the big guy, who got the 10%. Tony Bobulinski, who was Hunter Biden's primary business partner, says it was absolutely Joe Biden getting kickbacks on the family name and these potentially and probably illegal dealings that are happening in places like China, where now the president doesn't seem very interested in confronting the Chinese on anything as it pertains to COVID or trade, and is giving away a lot of money, as I said, to Ukraine in terms of that country, which up until the war was seen as one of the most corrupt countries in the country. So I think once those investigations start, and once the president knows that he's completely a lame duck when he doesn't have the House and probably doesn't have the Senate, then he announces, okay, to be fair to all our Democrats, sometime in the spring of 2023, he says, I'm not running again for another term. Then everybody jumps in for the nomination like they did in 2020. Remember, Charlie, what was it? 28 people ran on the Democratic side to the point where they had to have debates over two nights because they couldn't fit everybody on stage. It'll happen like that all over again. And you're going to have the Gavin Newsoms and Hillary Clintons and Pete Buttigieg's and Cory Booker's and all the Island of Misfit Toys running back in again in an open primary. And with it open on the Republican side as well, it'll be a complete and total. Well, it'll be entertaining for us for having shows like this and going on television to talk about it. But yeah, it's going to be a cluster.
We'll have plenty of content. Joe Concha, thank you. Great book. Come on, man. Everyone check it out. Thanks so much.
Charlie, appreciate it, man. Let's go get a haircut again at that same place in Washington.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you got to own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals. Give them a call or go to their website, AndrewandTodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to AndrewandTodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. The backbone of America is small business. We talk about small business here and there, but rarely do we talk about the policies that are necessary to support small business. It's something that, quite honestly, I believe the Biden regime wants to destroy small business because small businesses are decentralized. It's bottom up. It's easier to have 100 companies that are just all in your pockets. There's a great organization. You've heard me talk about them before, the Job Creators Network, JCN. I've known them for a long time. And they're all about representing small business and making sure the interests of small business are protected in Washington, D.C. The American way of life is largely protected, is made possible, I should say, by local mom-and-pop entrepreneurs that are the drumbeat of the American economy. Joining us right now is Alfredo Ortiz, who is the mastermind and the driving force behind Job Creators Network. Alfredo, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Great to see you. Excited to be on the program. First time.
Yeah, thank you. So, Alfredo, tell us about your new plan, the American Small Business Prosperity Plan.
Yeah, absolutely, Charlie. Well, your intro was right on, though. I mean, small businesses in this country are the heartbeat of our communities, or the heartbeat of our country. And without small businesses, we have no country. I mean, when you think about it, 30 million small business owners out there employing about 60 million people. So you're talking a pool of about 90 million hardworking Americans that are really dependent on the success or failure of small business. And frankly, you know, this administration has done absolutely nothing to try to help them. In fact, has done everything possible to try to hurt them. We actually call it the war on small business, Charlie, because that's exactly what they did from day one. And, you know, in terms of, if you look at what the policies of the Biden administration have done in terms of inflation, you know, we're now in the middle of a recession. You've got the labor force issues, supply chain issues. Everything has been hurting our small businesses. And really, there's no relief in sight coming from this administration. And that's why, Charlie, we put together this 8-point plan working with Newt Gingrich on its release last week. And so we're really excited about, you know, the support that we've gotten. I'm going to just list out the quick 8 points because we try to keep it as simple as we could, Charlie, so that folks could actually focus and understand what we're trying to do. The first one, though, the most important one, is really make the tax cuts permanent from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, especially when it comes to the small business provisions that were included in there. The second one is to really launch and unleash domestic energy production again. Charlie, you and I have both been talking about this since day one of the administration, but every single thing that's bad right now, we can trace all the way back to that fateful day, the first day of his administration, when he launched basically his attack on domestic energy production. And all the inflation, the supply chain issues, everything we're seeing really comes back to that day. So we're saying we got to bring back domestic energy production, healthcare, bring those healthcare costs down, There are ways of doing it. Our healthcareforyou.com outlines a really great way of being able to address healthcare costs for our small businesses. Exempt small businesses from over regulation, basically, which has been one of the things that this administration loves doing, and frankly, every other Democrat administration has done. Remember that President Trump unleashed small business success by really bringing down taxes and bringing down regulations. And so we want to basically challenge the system and basically say that any regulation, Charlie, that is out there, like small businesses are exempted from it automatically. And the agency that wants to put forth this regulation is going to have to prove why the small business community needs to be rolled into that. So we're really kind of putting that on its head versus where it is today. Government spending, of course, kind of reined that in. Fix the supply chain issue and dealing with China, obviously, is another piece. And then an actual work requirement that will be incorporated for any recipients of government aid. We think that's very, very important. And frankly, because of the Biden administration, all the free money, Charlie, that was being given away, the American work ethic has pretty much been decimated. So we're saying bring the work requirement back. If you're an able-bodied person, you're receiving government aid, you should be able to work for that. And then lastly, expanding access to capital. We think it's so important for that to happen. I think it was actually Jesse Jackson that said, remember that capitalism without capital is just another ism. And so we're excited about the plan. It's gotten a lot of support. Charlie, thank you for your support. Just yesterday, we also received the support from Minority Leader, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. So we're well on the way in terms of momentum.
So let me ask you, Alfredo, you know, this is a really important point. I want to make sure we drill in on this. When you talk about regulation against small business, there's the Chamber of Commerce, which I'm not a fan of at all. They've gone completely woke and off the reservation. And they're representing the biggest companies. But there's rarely ever a voice for the small business, the medium-sized business. Alfredo, can you build out this idea that it is the big company's interest to pass more regulations because they actually are protected and their incumbency is then shielded by these new laws and these new regulations? JCN really is the chamber for small business. Is what should be. And we're going to help you grow, Alfredo. Job Creators Network, everyone can check it out. And they do such a great job. You guys could check out their website, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Alfredo, talk about how regulation is used as a tool to protect the incumbency of major companies and crush smaller ones.
Yeah. Charlie, all I can say is when you see a company like Amazon pushing for higher minimum wages, watch out, right? There's a reason why they're doing it, because they are trying to use these regulations to their advantage to basically keep small businesses out of the way and basically effectively take them out overall from operating, because a lot of these small businesses cannot keep up with the types of regulations that the government imposes. Go back all the way to Dodd-Frank when it came to kind of banking regulations. Remember that, the too big to fail idea, right? Well, guess what ended up happening, Charlie? 2,500 small community banks, mostly minority population communities, went out of business, Charlie. And that's because they just couldn't keep up with the amount of regulation that was being thrown at them from a banking perspective. And like this, you know, large companies, that's why they're in bed with the Biden administration, because they can work together to squeeze out these small businesses. And something you said right at the beginning when you opened up our interview is so true. The Democrats, the Biden administration, the left, they hate small business. And it's because small business represent everything that they hate. You know, the American dream, free enterprise, capitalism, the idea that if you work real hard, right, that you can get anything you want. I had two small businesses myself, Charlie, and I put everything on the line for those two businesses. I believed in my idea. I believed in the American dream. You know, my parents, you know, came over from Mexico. My mom was a housekeeper. My dad was a tailor. But they believed in the American dream. I believe in the American dream. And that's why I had put everything into that small business, everything I had, right? But so I should have unlimited potential if I'm willing to take that kind of risk. But the government doesn't believe that. The government thinks that after a certain point, the rest of it should come down, right? So you take all the risk, but we're going to take most of the benefit. That's just ridiculous. And the government hates that. And that's why they try to shoot and shut down small businesses, because, again, they represent everything that they do not believe in.
That's exactly right. And you think about it, it's decentralized wealth creation is what small businesses is. It's not top down. It's not orchestrated. They hate it. You can't control it. It's robust. It's authentic. It's entrepreneurial. It's all different pockets across the country. And so, you know, and also, Alfredo, I think that part of what you guys are hitting on at Job Creators Network, and just so the audience knows, we're going to be doing a lot of things at Job Creators Network to help them grow. So I'm very passionate about them becoming the new Chamber of Commerce for small business, is how minorities, in particular Hispanic communities, are really getting in the direction of, we didn't like these lockdowns, we didn't like these mask mandates, we didn't like this one-size-fits-all policy. The Hispanic community in the Rio Grande Valley, and I'm not even talking politically, but we can go there if you want, they are now saying these big government ideas are awful. They want law and order because their businesses were torched by, you know, these criminals and these vigilantes. Alfredo, can you talk about how a proper message to small business, talking about the retail backbone, talking about the plumbers, electricians, the welders, how that is a way where the Republican conservative movement can broaden their appeal to communities they otherwise would have struggled with?
Oh, 100%, Charlie. And on the Hispanic front, absolutely. First of all, I mean, one of the most entrepreneurial ethnic groups are Hispanics, right? And when you look at it across the board, and that's true. And, you know, when you talk about even crime, for example, you know, you talk about the border. I mean, one of the things that the Democrats do so poorly is this identity, idea of identity politics, right? That Hispanics are all kind of one and they all believe about, you know, the border, and they have a major, you know, issue with immigration and all that. It is so not true, Charlie. I mean, when you look at the Hispanic overall as a community, guess what they really, really care about? The same thing you and I care about, right? The economy, inflation, education, safety in their communities. I mean, one of the biggest reasons why they believe that the border should be secured and the border should be closed and that only, you know, legal immigration actually happen is because guess where the crime is coming through this porous border? It's going to their communities. It's not going into, you know, Nancy Pelosi's community. Yes, it's going to their communities, right? And their schools, the MS-13 gangs, they're basically staging themselves as students and going into these schools and creating massive issues in terms of from a drug perspective across their communities. That's why they don't like it. And that's why, frankly, when you look at when DeSantis won the Florida governorship, that's actually one of the biggest reasons why he won, because he understood that Hispanics in Florida were worried about crime and safety in their communities. And DeSantis was very clear about that. And that's why, again, everything that the Republican Party really represents is so, so true and rings so true for the Hispanic community. I think that's why we're starting to see, frankly, in droves, the Hispanic Hispanics overall as a community really favoring the GOP. And the more we can be clear about this message, the message that we are clearly the party of opportunity, period. The period, right? Think about it. The party of opportunity. You ring that and say that over and over to the Hispanic community, I'm telling you, they're going to vote with Republicans day in and day out.
Alfredo Ortiz is here. Everybody, remember, we have to build the new Chamber of Commerce. Job Creators Network has some really great people behind it, including one of the co-founders of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, who's one of the great entrepreneurs of our generation. You guys can check out jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That is jobcreatorsnetwork.com. You guys, if you own a small business, if you are a small business, you know, if, let's say a co-owner, a VP, or even if you're a retired business owner or a concerned citizen, doesn't matter. All people, you could check out jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Even if you plan to launch a business, you're an entrepreneur. I can go into detail about how influential the chamber has been. We have to build a bottom-up alternative. That's jobcreatorsnetwork.com. Alfredo, I said that they're coming for small businesses next. That's actually not true. They're already targeting small businesses. They're already strangling small businesses. But you've put together a plan and a great group of people to be able to support and defend small business. And so I want to talk about inflation. This is a huge problem. What long-term, Alfredo, can we do to stop this runaway spending and inflation that is destroying the backbone of the American economy? The Federal Reserve is out of control. What can be done?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, inflation really is probably the number one issue for small businesses, Charlie. And I want to put an exclamation point on that, because remember that small businesses have it even harder than any large business out there, because they don't have the benefits of, you know, strong purchasing power, multi-year contracts, preferential inventory distribution, right? They don't have any of that. a lot of these businesses are just really subject to the ups and downs of the economy. In this particular case, the 8.5% inflation rate that's hitting the economy is hitting these small businesses extremely hard. I mean, we're seeing case after case of our members, let's say restaurant owners, where in many cases their inputs are up double, triple of what it used to be, and they're barely even breaking even. And in many cases, they're actually starting to really lose money in a significant way. And so we're very concerned about the impact of inflation on our small businesses. And again, it really started with Joe Biden's attack on domestic energy production. One of the things that we call for is an immediate return to production here in the U.S. I mean, the destabilization across the globe that Joe Biden created from that day one of his administration with the attack on energy is really one of the leading reasons why we are where we are, whether it's on, you know, natural gas now, whether it's gasoline prices, supply chain issues. I mean, it really goes back to that fateful day, unfortunately, that Biden made. And so we have to make sure that we address that, through it. And then government spending. We got to stop this ridiculous out of control government spending. I mean, just what today Congressional Budget Office issued their estimate of this loan bailout of over, it's going to be about $420 billion. I mean, this is absolutely out of control. And then somehow Biden expects us to believe that that's not going to be inflationary. I mean, this is Pinocchio Joe at his best, Charlie. I mean, and it's got to stop. We at Job Creators Network will try to call every single time that he makes one of these ridiculous statements or anybody from the Biden administration. As you know, we're kind of now called the billboard guys because we take out these great billboards out of New York, attacking basically anything that really comes out of his mouth as a complete lie, which at this point is basically every day.
Alfredo Ortiz, great job. We are partnering with you on many different things. So check it out, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. That's jobcreatorsnetwork.com, not to mention the 87,000 new IRS agents. They got to be removed day one. Alfredo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Have a great one.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.